You're watching breaking news coverage of the World Cup 2010, which starts tomorrow in South Africa. And with us, Simon Dingle. Simon is a podcaster and a blogger in Johannesburg, where, as you said, it is an order of magnitude more exciting than anyone imagined. Is South Africa a big soccer? Now, by the way, I guess I should say that I'm going to call it soccer, in contravention of every terminology used everywhere else in the world, because we have this thing called American football. But we're talking about football. Is football...
What do you call it? Soccer in South Africa.
Oh, you do? So, all right.
Well, actually, so this is... There's been some consternation around this instrument over here, right, which is called the vuvuzela.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a horn.
Oh, that's that horn that goes...
Yeah. It's part of soccer tradition in South Africa. It makes a loud noise. I'm not going to blow it now because I've got sleeping children in the house.
Oh, okay.
So this is my South African vuvuzela.
It's beautiful.
I said on Twitter that I'm going to be supporting USA if our team falls out, and the US Embassy sent me this.
Oh no, an American! you cannot go to the stadium bearing that, Simon.
I know, but I've got that. So so we both nations call it soccer. Both nations now have vuvuzelas, and I'll be supporting them both. So, so soccer is fine.
So we'll call it soccer. And I have to say that every 4 years, this is only a quadrennial event. Every 4 years, the world goes a little soccer mad. It is, I think, to my knowledge, the most watched sporting event in the world. Probably making it the most watched television event in the world.
Yeah, they say the World Cup is the biggest event in human history. It's bigger than the Olympics. It's bigger than anything else. So and now it's happening in South Africa, and it's amazing seeing what's been happening in the country from an infrastructure perspective, from a technology perspective. It's just made so many things happen in South Africa. And some South Africans complain about FIFA as an organization and how much money they take out of the economy for the event. But I mean, it's done such amazing things for the country. And it's amazing to have this event happening here in 2010.
One thing I noticed in the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics, because they're every 4 years, there's big jumps in technology every 4 years. It's not like a yearly event where there's this gradual ramp up. So in 2006, the last World Cup, I know a lot of people watched it on the internet. I know there was a lot of internet coverage, but you've got to figure there's going to be even more in 2010. Are people ramping up for that bandwidth-wise?
Definitely. So, I mean, the stadiums themselves have become bandwidth hubs. Each stadium, this is a FIFA requirement now, has to have 40 gigabits per second redundant into the stadium. So 20 gigabits in and 20 gigabits out of each and every stadium that's being used during the World Cup.
20 gigabits. Who's using that?
The press is using that. There's live streaming on YouTube. There's amazing things happening with that bandwidth. Of course, the first 3D television broadcasts are happening out of those stadiums. So
we saw that in Beijing. Stadiums, it was amazing. I mean, to be able to watch the Olympic preview and the opening ceremonies, and then much of the events on the internet was incredible. And that was a year ago. So now, imagine even more. We're only 2 hours off from the opening ceremonies. That's a big deal in itself. How much of this will be streamed, Simon? Do you know?
Well, a good deal of it is being streamed. Obviously, the games themselves, there's all sorts of broadcasting rights that go with that.
Right.
So I was speaking to the guys at Sony. They're not doing streaming, but they're doing 3D footage of the cup. They've got agreements with ESPN, for example, that'll be broadcasting live in 3D in the USA. And then the 3D sort of package content that they're going to generate from the cup is going to be available on Blu-ray disc afterwards. So that's happening. In terms of how much of the games are being live streamed, I'm not sure exactly how much of that is happening. But you have to think, with that kind of bandwidth, there's going to be a lot of streaming coming out of those stadiums, gigabits, whether it's of the games or not.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Yeah, 3D is a big tech angle here too, because 3D TVs are now emerging in the U.S., movie companies have gotten behind it, and one of the promises of 3D TV was sports. I mean, and frankly, that's the only one that seems at all interesting to me. So they will be shooting and broadcasting this in 3D?
That's right. Yeah, Sony's the big technology partner for that, for the World Cup.
Wow.
The Confederations Cup, which is kind of the big sort of preamble to the World Cup, that happened in South Africa in 2009, and Sony shot that in 3D. It wasn't broadcast in 3D.
Yeah, you'd have to go to the theater to see that, I'm sure, or get a Blu-ray or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They showed me some footage of the game between Brazil and the USA, the final from the Confed Cup last year, which USA almost won, by the way. I think it was 3-2 was the final score. But it's just amazing watching the game in 3D. So at one point, there's a corner kick that comes, that one of the USA strikers was making, and the ball just kind of flies out of the television at you. So it's amazing seeing it, and to see it live is going to be something special.
And if you have a sling box, I guess you could watch it on your sling box. We're bringing you live coverage of the world's most important tech stories. In this case, the Soccer World Cup, FIFA World Cup, which opens in just 2 hours in South Africa. We thank Slingbox for supporting our breaking news coverage. Anytime you come across a breaking news item in tech, go to twitlive.tv to follow the story and get the latest from the tech experts in the know. And catch a Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or online at slingbox.com slash twit. So I guess in the States, ESPN will be broadcasting it in 3D.
That's right.
But this is interesting. There's a system being used that allows people in some of the stadiums in the crowd to control the cameras. Tell me about that.
Well, so it depends on the stadium that you're at, but there's this gigapixel technology. I don't know if you've seen that before, where they take these billion pixel photographs in this case, the stadium. And what they've done now is they're making that available on the net so that you can actually go and manipulate this image and zoom in and try and find yourself in the crowd. And that's happening at some of the stadiums as well. I know one of the stadiums in Johannesburg actually tried that out with a rugby game to see if it would work. And that's going to be happening during the World Cup as well. So the stadiums themselves are each sort of incorporating technology and playing around with sort of, you know, webcams in the stadiums, focused on the crowds, these gigapixel images that you'll be able to zoom in on, try and find yourself in the crowd, and really tying social media into the game as well. Making sure that there's bandwidth available so that everybody on their smartphone will be able to kind of, get online, get on Twitter, post images, manipulate these gigapixel images that are being uploaded, and really kind of get interactive with the game, which is exciting. I'm a social media nut, and this will be the first World Cup to be tweeted.
Yeah, that was a big issue in the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. Some of the athletes were saying, I can't tweet. The IOC won't let me tweet. Are there restrictions on how athletes are going to use Twitter or journalists are going to use Twitter? What is the hashtag we should be following to follow all this?
There are a lot. In fact, Vuvuzela was trending yesterday on Twitter. WC2010 seems to be one of the most frequently used hashtags.
This is, by the way, the Durban Stadium. This is a megapixel image.
That's the Moses Madiba Stadium, they call it.
Beautiful. Look at this. How big are these stadiums?
Massive.
100,000, 80,000, 60,000? This looks like at least a 60,000-seat stadium.
I think that, if I remember correctly, is in the order of about 80,000.
Wow.
That rail that you're seeing going over the stadium, they actually have a sky car you can catch. So you can go for a ride over that arch over the stadium.
Holy cow.
And you get a view of Durban. The other interesting thing about that stadium is that it's built right on the ocean. So the ocean is not too far away from that stadium, and the Cape Town Stadium as well is built right on the ocean. And that's fairly unique. You don't really get sports stadiums built close to oceans, anywhere else in the world. So
this is truly a gorgeous stadium. I love the airiness of the entrance here, how open it is. It's just gorgeous. How many stadiums are there for the World Cup?
There are 10 spread out throughout the country.
Holy cow.
And quite a few of those are brand new. Soccer City in Johannesburg is brand new. It's built in the shape of an African calabash, which is a cooking pot. There's a stadium in Bloemfontein that looks like it's being held up by a giraffe. That's pretty new. There's Cape Town Stadium in Greenpoint. There's the Durban Stadium that's brand new. So billions of rands have been spent on building these stadiums.
I can see now why the people in South Africa are saying that's costing too much. But I'm sure it brings a lot of business into the area, just as the Olympics do. And it's so prestigious to get it.
Definitely. Look, it's good. It's good for tourism. There's been a lot of speculation about how good it really is for the economy because it's costing us a lot of money. FIFA takes a lot of that money home with them. But it's good for morale, if nothing else. Economically, it's not the best time in the world to be hosting an event like this. We've got a lot less tourists coming to the country than we thought we would have.
Ah, that's a disappointment.
Yeah. But, you know, we've got the Euro crisis. We've just come out of recession. So it's to be expected, I guess.
Right. So, yeah. So gigabit images, 3D cameras, Twitter feeds. Are you going to be tweeting this?
Definitely, yeah. I'm going to be at four of the games, including the semifinals. So I will definitely be tweeting this.
Something strange has happened to my gigabit image here. I pushed a key and
oh wow, look at that! It's like gone fisheye.
it's done something weird to me. I'm going to have to close out of that one. That's I don't know what happened there. Just shows you there's a lot of data in a gigabit image. There's also there are also a number of iPhone and iPad applications. Ken Shepardson. Yeah. Just showed me one from ESPN that's for the iPhone that lets you follow along. And I guess ESPN 3 is going to stream all or most of the games. So that is going to give a broadcast or stream, I'm not sure which, but that's going to give Americans a chance to see a lot of these games. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there are 25 of the games that are being shot in 3D. So 25 of them will be broadcast in 3D. I don't think they're doing it for every single game, but yeah.
Can I go to Google and Street View and see these stadiums and see what's going on?
Definitely. That's one of the stories that broke this week. Street View Google's been busy shooting imagery for Street View over the last year or so, and that's all available now. So there's some fun stuff. You can see the stadiums. You can also see our famous Kruger National Park. In fact, you know, in Street View, they always kind of blur faces and number plates on cars. And there's a few Easter eggs. So one of them is if you go into the Kruger Park, there's an elephant that has its face blanked out.
What?
But yeah, they just as a joke, they went and they blurred out an elephant's face.
Maybe that elephant was privacy conscious and just didn't want to see it. I'm seeing if I can see a street view here. This would be fun to go through. I would love to come down for this. What an event this would be to see, you know?
Hey, well, you know, my spare room is ready.
I might have to come down.
Accommodation is sorted out. I'm not sure about tickets for all of the games.
Do you have people who are saying, Simon, I know we haven't talked in a while, but...
I was actually in New York. I was in New York 2 weeks ago at IBM's campus in Armonk, and I was with journalists from Manhattan. And if they could, they would have come back on the airplane with me.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, soccer buffs in the U.S., and there are quite a few of them, especially at the academic level. High school soccer and league soccer in the U.S. is huge. And I know every 4 years they just hope and pray that this will be the day finally that soccer takes off in the United States.
Are you seeing that though?
No. And you know why? It's really sad. It all comes down to network television because there's no easy way to broadcast soccer results. Let's see. I'm going to upgrade here. I can upgrade. Confirm your in-app purchase for $7.99. I can buy the World Cup premium package and then I can watch the World Cup, I guess, on my iPhone or iPad. So this is
that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Video by team, by matches, the top video. That's pretty cool. Tables and stats. Now I'm getting excited. Simon Dingle, thank you so much for joining us. We're excited, and maybe you can check in again as the World Cup advances. It takes a month, goes on for a long time. So I'm sure you'll be quite busy.
Definitely.
People should.
Thank you, Leo.
You're very welcome. Great to talk. We'd love to get you on. People can follow Simon at SimonDingle.com. That's his website. He also, besides blogging, I think you do a podcast, yes?
I do the ZA Tech Show. We actually just finished recording that tonight. We're busy redesigning our website. It needs some work. But yeah, ZA Tech Show.
And follow him on Twitter. He's Simon Dingle on Twitter. And I'm just going to follow him right now so I make sure I get all the latest from Simon. Thank you, Simon. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Leo.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And thanks also, of course, to Slingbox for providing the wherewithal for us to do breaking news coverage. Make sure you check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or slingbox.com/twit. And I guess I should say it would be it's okay for me to say, go USA. I wish you could blow that horn, Simon, but since you can't because the kids are asleep. How about that?
That was pretty good. Should I try it? Let's do one.
You wake up. You're a good man, Simon Dingle. Thanks a lot. Take care.